This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I may be talking a little funny today because half of my mouth is numbed up. I think I probably mentioned last week that I had a chipped tooth. I'd gone to the dentist. They had cleaned my teeth as normal. And then I had some nuts after the dentist. And it was shortly after that that I noticed that I was kind of missing a small little piece of my tooth. And, you know, I called the dentist about it. And they were a little short-staffed, so it took them a few days to get me worked in. But it was fine because it wasn't hurting. And it's the rest of it seemed to be stable. And honestly, that particular tooth, I had thought that at some point I was going to lose that tooth because when it was filled in the Philippines, they got pretty close to the edge of the inside of the wall that was left after they filled my tooth was thinner than I would have expected. Let's put it that way. So I just assumed that the tooth had been structurally weakened and sooner or later it was gonna give way. My dentist did say the amalgam that was in there, she said, you know, it's been in there for a while. I said, yeah, no, it has, because pretty much all the cavities that I have, with the exception of one or two, which 17, 19, something like that, all happened when I reached puberty. And they all happened in the space of about 6 months. And I've always had a question in my mind whether or not it was puberty or whether it was just a dentist saying, you know what, I think we can make some money off this white boy, because it was in the Philippines. But the dentist seemed to be a good dentist that we had gone to, so maybe it wasn't that. And I was talking to the dental assistant today, and she said that's not unusual. She said some kids, when they hit puberty, that happens. And my saliva is somewhat acidic, not acidic, that would be really bad. So, you know, maybe that was it, but that would have been it. So I had kind of resigned myself to the fact that that tooth was going to let loose at some point. So it really wasn't much of a surprise when I saw that, you know, I had pulled a little piece out of it. But my dentist, who is a sweetheart, who's as good as gold, Kay Nipschild is her name, she got in there and dug out the old filling and put all the new stuff in. And so where I used to have a darker tooth right now, it's actually not that much darker than my other teeth now. So whoop, whoop. So there you go. So that was all a good adventure. The only thing is I'm still numb over there, and it was the tooth right behind my incisor on the lower left-hand side. So if I sound a little funny, it's because I am talking a little funny. All is well. All is well. I did start book 20 this week, and surprise, surprise, astonishment of all astonishments, I received the beta copies for book 19 on Monday, Labor Day, which was astonishing. I think I ordered all those books on Wednesday or Thursday. Maybe it was Wednesday. I thought it was Thursday, but maybe it was Wednesday of last week. And I received a notice while we were down for the wedding, because we were down for a friend's wedding on the 3rd. I think it was it the 3rd of September? Whatever Friday was, last Friday. No, the 1st of September. So I had received, we were down overnight in Bentonville, Arkansas. And on the 2nd, having only ordered the books 3 days, 2 days, 3 days before, I received a notice that they were shipped and they would be here on Monday. And I'm like, whoa, hey. That's the way it used to be as far as the amount of time it took to print them when we were with CreateSpace. But it was always longer once CreateSpace was bought out by Kindle Direct Publishing. But maybe they just had a lull. Because I was really surprised. I had planned for 2 weeks to get the books, and they came in. I'm like, hey, whoop, whoop. So I'm actually getting everything ready to send out the books tomorrow morning. I would normally have a little more time to say, hey, anybody else want a beta read? You know, but I think we're at 20. I think we're at 20 beta readers at this point, which is fine. That's fine. Have 3 new beta readers. Three new beta readers. Maybe 4. 4 new beta readers. So maybe I'm at 21. So that's going to be interesting. It's a little tough to jump in at this point in the series because there's been 18 books. And with book 19 included, I'm almost at 3 million words at this point. So, you know, 3 million words and I think it's 3,000 pages. So, no. It's more than that. It's 9,800 pages, almost 10,000 pages. So, a lot of pages, a lot of words, jump in that late in the game. But, you know, they wanted to give it a try, and I said, absolutely sure, that'd be great. So, we did have just a lovely time going down for the wedding. Had a tremendous conversation, couple of tremendous conversations that I just really, really enjoyed. I had heard about a doctor. I didn't know his name because I'm not great with names. But there was a doctor who had just been a spectacular resource for our friends whose son was getting married, whose eldest son was getting married. Their youngest son was born with some fairly significant physical challenges, and Lisa was right in the mix with it the whole time, our friend's wife. The wife of the couples we are friends with. And, you know, this doctor was the one that was just right in there with her in the mix. His name was Dr. McNeil. And so, as it turns out, he was seated at the same table with us, and we struck up a conversation, started talking about this, that, and the other, and got onto COVID. He said at one point, he said, I should tell you I'm a medical doctor. I said, great, I love this. And, you know, so then we chatted for a while about this, that, and the other, and of course got onto other topics, and that was at the wedding, and both of us decided to leave when when the dancing started, but they were staying at the same hotel as we were, and so I had gotten all my stuff ready, I was ready to go, and then my wife and I went down, I went ahead and, you know, I had my shower taken, and I was all that kind of stuff, and then my wife and I went down to get a little breakfast, and we got a little breakfast. And then just as my wife was getting ready to go back up to the room, the doctor and his wife came in, and we waved and said hello. So I just went over and sat down at their table, as I am wont to do. And so then we just started talking about other stuff. And it was just a lovely, lovely conversation. Really lovely. So it was fun. It was really fun. Get to know them a little bit, and who knows, our paths may cross again at some point. I've already said the books are going fine. Costume this week is Uncle Sam, so I've had that on, and that'll all be fine. Made a few adjustments to my pirate costume, added a few things, subtracted a few things, so I'm pretty well set up for the next 2 weeks now. I think we're good there, so that's all going fine. I continue to be cautiously optimistic about this Mufasa mask that I'm building, and A, I think it's going to look fine, which I'm happy about. B, it's not going to be an exact copy, but it will be more of a kind of a paper mache type, not paper mache, but origami looking, kind of an origami looking thing, which I like. I like that idea a lot. All the basic shapes are there, but it keeps me from having to worry about a lot of finished edges. And I had actually thought about having that type of look, so that's all good. And God is good to, you know, get me the right pieces of information as to what I need when, and reminders of information. Like, I was reminded, God had reminded me. I came across a YouTube post that I was going through about heat shaping EV foam, and he was like, hey, you should look at that. And I did, and it was very helpful. So that's going to assist tremendously. Yes! My friend Steve Dorland had just texted me to say, please tell me that you've seen Idiocracy. So, yes, I have. Anyways, so all of that is well. And so I'm cautiously optimistic about the mask. I still have many things to work out. The cape that's tulle with shoulder tulle, I think I'm going to replace the shoulder tulle with thicker stuff to simulate a thicker mane on the lion. So I have plenty of work to do, but if I can get the mask done, the Broadway-like mask of the Lion King Mufasa, if I can get that done, the rest of it is just mechanics and just putting in the work. And I have until mid-November, and so I think I've got plenty of time there. I do have one additional thing that I have to do. I've got some shoes coming in, some platform shoes coming in for the sweetest day. My beloved had asked me to decommission World Kindness Day, since that's Drag Queen B, and she didn't really like the fact. I don't think she has a problem with the costume as much as she has the problem with the pun Drag Queen B, given the environment right now. And so I said, that's fine, sweetie. So I decommissioned that costume, and then I realized that it's the 25th anniversary of The Lion King, and so I'm just slotting it in that place. I'm juggling a few things around a little bit, but I'm slotting them in that place, so that will all be fine. So life is good. We did get closed with my major client for the month today, which is really good. And everything seems to be fine there, so yay. And all of that's going well. We're going to do a big database move here coming up in, not this weekend, but next weekend. But we've done the testing as much as we can, and you know, this is the big database that runs all the internal line of business systems, and so there's no question. This thing has stuff on it that was written decades ago. I mean, there's no question that if there's going to be some sort of oddball problem, it's going to happen on this database move. But we've done what we can do to prepare. So it's one of those things that sometimes you just got to pull the trigger and just clean up afterwards. And I would just imagine that there will be cleanup afterwards. This week, I just didn't have any. Let's make sure that this is still running. Yeah, it looks like it is. Let me check. Yeah, good. Oh, sorry. This week, I didn't have any notes. Last night, I couldn't get clear on anything. And then there have been some other things that have come up, and I thought, well, I could just talk about that. But I've kind of talked about that some things before, and I thought, well, you know, that'd be fine. We can talk about that again. But then today, as I was going into work, I started listening to a podcast that Jordan Peterson did with, let me find her name here real quick. Jordan Peterson did with, her name is Dr. Ellen Langer. And the podcast is number 381, and it's called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. And it's very interesting. I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, week before last, about Michael Levin, who does work with biological systems, and how he was talking about the fact that that space, modification space in biological systems might be far bigger and broader than anything we can imagine, and more capable and more flexible than anything we can imagine in terms of regeneration, in terms of healing, in terms of all those things. And I had pondered after hearing that as to how much control our minds might actually have over our physical bodies, just as a matter of design. Now, you could say, well, maybe that's a manifestation of the engines of faith that are in the world, and that could very well be. Or maybe our biological systems are just far more adaptive than we think they are, including the ability to regenerate stuff. Michael Levin has shown that he can take a frog, and I think they chop their leg off. We'll say it's a frog without a leg, that's missing a leg, and he can, by either electrical stimulation or chemical stimulation, something, cause that frog's leg to regrow, because the underlying biological mechanical systems there have the knowledge to do that. They just have to be prompted. And Michael Levin has talked about some very intriguing things. Okay, so if those triggers exist and can be fired, then of course the next question is, well, how do they get fired? Do you have to have electrical impulses? Or can the brain control enough things that it can control the chemicals that might prompt the body to do these types of things? So, having said all that, this doctor who has studied things like mindfulness for years, Jordan Peterson, was interviewing her, and she gave many very interesting examples, because she's written a book about the connection between mind and body and about mindfulness and how it can benefit you, and how that this dichotomy that we have of separating the mind from the body may not be the best model that we should have in our minds. And they were talking about longevity and staying healthy and all that sort of thing. But in addition to that, she started going through some examples of actual studies that they have done. And it's very interesting. She said one of the earliest studies they did is they took a bunch of old men and they took them to a campground for 5 days. And she said they modeled the campground as if it was 20 years ago. And then they told them to not speak of their experiences as if they were in the past, but to recall experiences that they were having 20 years before and speak of them as if they were in the present. And she said after 5 days, we tested them all again, and their eyesight was better. Their blood pressure had dropped. They were feeling stronger. Just this experience of imagining that they were young again actually caused real verifiable changes in their bodies. She said they also did an experiment where they took and they created a wound in people, a minor wound, like a little cut. And then they split up the cohort that they had into three separate groups. And they asked these groups to simply sit in a room and watch a clock. For one group, the time on the clock ran half as fast as normal. For one group, it ran normal. And for the other group, it ran twice as fast. And for the people who watched the clock that ran twice as fast, their minor wound that they had healed twice as fast. Now, that's an interesting outcome. She talked about her mom, and these stories are well known. She talked about her mom who had stage 4 cancer that metastasized and got into her pancreas. And she said, everybody will tell you that once that happens, you know, that you've only got just a few months to live. She said, and yet one day her mom woke up and the cancer was gone, completely gone. So these are examples of something else at work that is different. And that in the case of this researcher, there's no supernatural element that they are aware of. There's nothing they're promoting as a supernatural element. They're just saying that a healthy mental outlook can do wonders. And Jordan Peterson then told the story, I think I heard this correctly, of his wife who had been just given months to live. And at one point, she told him that she thought she was going to be completely whole or be healed or, you know, be fine by their wedding anniversary. And their wedding anniversary came and she was. So it's all very, very interesting. All very, very interesting. And it could be that not only does this biological landscape have more function and capabilities than we can imagine, but that it is in some way and a not inaccessible way tied to our thoughts. Now, obviously, the verse that pops to mind is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So it's very interesting, and it is yet another it's yet another argument in favor of a positive mental outlook, of gratitude, of being grateful. She did bring up an interesting thing. She said, because many people, when they become aware of themselves and aware of their moving through life, do become aware that they have failings or they're accused of failings. But she said, in every failing that you're accused of, she said, there is another way to look at it. She said, I might be told that I tend to not stick with anything for very long, that I tend to change my mind about stuff, head off in different directions, and that might be viewed as a negative. But she said, by the same token, I might turn that around and say, well, but that's the definition of spontaneous, and I'm a spontaneous person. And spontaneous people often have a better outlook on life. And so you can take many of the negative emotions, and you can see that there's a positive aspect to exhibiting what we might consider a negative emotion or a negative personality trait. And she said, it's really up to you to kind of decide which you're going to do. And that, I thought that was very good too. So it's all very interesting. Positive outlook. Maybe it does a whole lot more for us than we think. And maybe there's a whole lot more going on inside our brains and its connection to our bodies than we could ever imagine. This is Phil Farrand, and I have made it home.